with potatoes, Chantenay carrots, or sweet fire beetroot, get our exclusive guide and free DVD this weekend. The Sunday Times, for all you are. Redeem at participating M&S stores.
Paolo on Alan Robson's Night Owls.
Slap me across the face like a bitch!
What's going on in my pants?
Nothing's going on in my pants, thank you very much. Yes, it's Paolo on the Night Owls, in for Alan, who is not here tonight because he's having a night off. Yes, we've got the ghost hunt on the way. That's coming up very shortly indeed. But just before we do that, we're going to have a very quick chat to the cult of Ange, who's on line six. Hiya, Ange.
Hello, Paolo. How are you?
I'm all right. I bet you're surprised to hear me, aren't you?
I am.
I'm surprised to hear you, frankly.
It's lovely to hear from you.
Yeah.
Are you doing an excellent job, Paolo?
Oh, thank you very much. That's very
excellent.
Kind. That's very kind of you.
And I think you should do it more often.
Do you think so? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see about that.
So when Alan's next off, I think you should do his program shows for him.
Well, maybe that'll happen. We'll have to see. You never know. We've still got 2 hours to go. It could all go horribly wrong.
Oh, I don't think so. You're doing very well, Paolo.
Well, bless
very
you, Angela.
Well.
Thank you for saying that.
I just want to say good luck to you doing the Night Owls.
Oh, that's lovely of you. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And I know where Alan is.
No, you don't.
I do. Amsterdam.
He's not in Amsterdam.
He is. He's gone not. Back to Amsterdam.
He's really
to
not.
To see Ramona.
No, he hasn't.
He has.
No, he hasn't.
And he's going to get... He's getting married to her.
He's not getting married to her, Anne. Don't say that. Don't put these ideas in his head. He's probably listening.
Oh, well, if he is getting married, I just want to wish him that both of them the very best of luck.
Well, if it was to happen, I'm sure we would do that, but we don't think it's going to happen. That's not what's happening. He's not even in Amsterdam. He's just having a little bit of quiet time with a friend. That's all, you know. Nothing.
Oh, what's that music?
Nothing untoward. What music?
Is that music?
Well, I can't hear any music.
I can.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's the sort of music for Alan.
Well, you never know. He might be playing that right now. Might have that on his hi-fi right now. You never know.
That's the sort of music for Alan and Ramona.
Well, we'll see. We'll probably, no doubt, we'll hear about whatever happens tomorrow night on the show when he gets back.
With a nice romantic meal.
Nice romantic meal, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
And I just got a little song to sing for you.
You're going
to
sing me a song, are you?
Yeah.
All right then, Angela, let's hear your song.
I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. There you go.
Thank you, Angela. You know that's made my night.
That's me.
All of the work that goes into doing this show has all been worthwhile because you just sang that to me.
Oh, and here's another one.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
After three. One, two, three. I love you. You love me. We are happy family. With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me, do?
Yay! You Thank you, Angela. Thank
you
very much.
You know,
much.
You're on about a tribute band.
Yeah.
Me and Linda have seen an ABBA tribute band.
You've seen one as well?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the same one that Kerry saw.
We've seen them in Blythe, where the market is. Because they were opening before it was opening.
Oh, right. But were they good?
They were fantastic. Me and Linda were dancing.
I bet you were. I'm sure music. You were right up the front, weren't you? I bet you were right at the front dancing.
Yeah,
of course
dancing
you
queen, feel a beat on the tambourine. That's, oh,
I feel like I'm there now, Angela. I feel like I'm there in front of them right now.
Ooh, see that girl, watch that scene, Dickens the dancing queen.
That's the stuff. That's the stuff.
That's the kind of music I like, ABBA.
Who doesn't like ABBA?
And Super Trooper, he's a gonna blind me.
That's
shining
definitely another
like
one.
The sun. So yeah, I know them.
You know that, you know all the tunes, all the greats, don't you?
Because I got the CD, ABBA.
Well, there
CD.
You go. That'll be how you know them.
Yeah.
That'll be it.
And this week I've been to college.
You've been to college, okay.
Yeah, and good. We did a practice test exam, because we've got a exam in June, so I had to practice for for an exam.
Right.
And it was quite hard, but I'll get used to them.
You will do, of course you will.
And it's in June or July, exam.
Well, good luck with that.
And I went to the craft class on the Wednesday to mm-hmm. and I make cards there.
Mm.
And I gave Kerry a one birthday card.
Oh, did you?
That I had made, yeah.
Oh, good. But I bet
so
she loved
that. Happy birthday to Kerry.
Happy birthday, Kerry, exactly.
Yeah. And Jessica, Amanda's daughter, it was her birthday on Friday, so happy birthday to Jessica.
Lots of birthdays.
Yeah, there is.
There is, isn't there?
And it's yours coming up soon, I believe.
Not long.
The 31st of March.
The big 26 this year. The big 26.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm, that's
26.
It. 26. Yeah, again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Are you looking forward to it?
Well, it's a milestone, isn't it? It's a big one. The big 26.
26. But right?
I've been through it before. I know what to expect.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is backwards? 26.
62. 62. that'll never happen. I'll never get there. I don't think.
Oh, you know how.
Not if I stay 26 forever. Anyway.
You never guess how old my age is backwards.
Well, it's probably. Is it? Two, what would it be? It'd be 60, no, nine, 69.
No.
What is it?
No, 43 I am.
You're 43 backwards.
34.
You're a spring chicken.
Yeah.
And you look very good for it.
And Alan, he's 28.
He is, he's 82, isn't he?
Pardon?
82 backwards.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 82 backwards.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you get your blueberry muffin?
I did get my blueberry muffin. It was very nice. Thank you very much.
You enjoyed it?
I enjoyed that. It was on Thursday night. I really did enjoy that, yeah.
Cool.
Thank you for that.
And I've got a few jokes to tell you.
All right, then, let's have your jokes.
Did you hear about the dog shelter that was robbed?
No.
The police still have no leads? What do Kermit the Frog and Henry the Eighth have in common?
I don't know.
They've got the same middle name.
I quite like that. Yeah, okay, I like that.
Did you hear about the man who fell into a machine at the... Oh, I can't read it. Sorry. It's a bit tricky. Sorry.
No worries. Let's do the next
one. I'll say some hellos instead.
Oh, okay, then. Let's have some hellos, then, and then we're going to go and do our ghosty story.
Hello,
right?
Bernadette, Melina, Linda, yeah. Jordan, Neil, Young Elvis, Emily, Eileen, Sue, and Rachel,
mm-hmm.
Amanda from Monkseaton, William, and Pat and Yvonne from Chesley Street. And could I sing happy birthday to Pat from Chesley Street?
Very quickly, yes.
When I was on last, I forgot to say sing happy birthday.
Well, you best do it now then, didn't you?
Right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pat. Happy birthday to you.
Very good, very good.
Hello, Leanne from Asherton, Claire, Courtney and Caitlin, Carly Ray Laws, Karen and Louise. And I want to say my phrase.
Come on then, let's have your catchphrase.
Come on, everybody. Get those phones and call 0191 488 3188.
Yay!
Bye.
Brilliant. Thanks, Angela.
Bye.
Bye. There you go. There's the cult of Ange. Great stuff, as always. Now then, we have our ghost story on the way, but I need to give you your second clue. All right, so do I do the first clue? I think I do the first clue and then the second clue as well, don't I? Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so the first clue, it's a what's it. The first clue was, they're long, thin and slimy, and you find them in your garden. Okay? That was your first clue. Your second clue, Mr. Lawrenson's first name. Mr. Lawrenson's first name. Okay, so you've got two words there. We're looking for a word that goes before both of these words. You've got two more to come. They're coming up later in the show. And we have Bodie's Saturday Surgery coming up right after this week's ghost story.
Well, hi everybody, Alan Robson here with your midnight Saturday night ghostly tale. And tonight I've decided to tell you about three places. First of all, Roland's Gale. It's one of those places that we drive through quite a lot. Maybe if you're heading up to concert or Maybe you're just going out into the countryside, up to Chopwell. There's a romantic tale about a Viking family who'd fallen out with their warlord, Hagar, and had escaped to the north of England, setting up home at Gibside. They erected a small lean-to, and with a tiny stream nearby, they could survive hunting in the woods, growing some basic food crops. The locals were at first very worried about having full-blown Norsemen living beside them. A fearsome-looking mountain of a man called Bedor. He stood well over 6 foot tall. He had muscles in his spit. His beard was so bushy that it was as if he was looking over a hedge. And after almost a year had passed, the people began to accept him and his family into the fold and often went with him on his hunting trips. And legend says that he could hurl an axe almost 200 feet and struck down many a stag and wild boar that were commonplace. But one autumn day, a Viking longboat sailed up the Tyne, docking at Swarwell, where the marina is currently sited. And wild men from Scandinavia poured off to steal and rape and ravish. And by chance, one of the Vikings spotted and recognised Bedor's son and began chasing him as the youngster tore off into the bushes. The boy was barely 14 and they managed to trail him to Gibside, bursting in on Bedor's wife as she prepared a meal. Treating the entire family as traitors, they disemboweled the boy in front of his mother, spilling his guts across the hut floor. They slaughtered the other two children in their cots. They tied Breda, Bedor's wife, to a tree outside the hut and lay in wait for the Viking refugee to return. Bedor and his fellow hunters had been told of the Viking landing. They were rushing back to their homes, none more keenly than the Norsemen. What made him stop? No one will ever know, but instead of returning home, he made his way down to the Tyne where the longship lay at anchor, guarded by three Vikings. Bedor approached them cheerily. They reciprocated, but once he got aboard, he swung his axe, taking off the heads of two of the men in a single stroke. The third drew his sword, but had no time to use it before he, too, was dead. As one by one, the Vikings drifted back towards the boat and stepped aboard. Bedor would kill them, rescuing dozens of young girls taken as slaves or bed warmers. Finally, one of the Viking leaders rolled up onto the ship. Drunk and swearing, laughing at times, he had had ashore. And Bedor grasped him by the throat and told him he must never return to the Tyne again. The Viking spat in his face. So Bedor brought his body down onto his knee, snapping his back. The Norseman wasn't dead, but his spine was broken. He couldn't move anything but his eyes, which darted to and fro in panic. Bedor had killed most of the crew, and there certainly wouldn't be enough men to guide the ship home, so he returned to Gibside. Nearing his hut, he heard talking in one of the bushes, and he crept stealthily through the greenery to see a carefully laid trap. Four men on one side, two across the other side of the clearing, directly behind a tree, where his wife, Breda, was tied. He saw a huge red stain on the ground, and there in the middle of it was his eldest son, his eyes staring up to the skies but seeing nothing. He knew that they would have killed his babies too, and a volcano of emotion welled up inside him. Although he was barely 10 yards from the four Vikings, Bedor stood up and roared his pain and torment to the world. With an axe in one hand and a sword in the other, he was there with one bound amongst them, swinging and swinging until the four Vikings lay in pieces at his feet. The other two ran towards Breda, shouting, "Kill the woman! Kill the woman!" As the first neared the petrified woman, he raised his sword to hack her to death when Bedor's arm swept down in a flash, sending his axe spinning through the air deep into the Viking's chest. The other Viking turned to run, yet tumbled into three of Bedor's friends who lived in the gill, and they were swift to club him to death. It's said that Bedor's heroism saved the people of the valley from further Viking attacks. There was never another. And they all saw out the rest of their lives. We sent listeners to visit the site, and one rang to say that they could hear strange voices, not speaking in any language they could identify. That language could have been Scandinavian. The second short story, really, is about Newcastle City Centre. Windows Arcade, JG Windows, Bit of a tradition in the Northeast to get you all the music you can't find anywhere else. Well, a girl called Carol, who'd worked in a shop in Newcastle upon Tyne's Royal Arcade, known as Windows Arcade, for years told me how she'd seen something rather eerie. Every evening after 6 o'clock, when she completed her paperwork, she would walk through the building and let herself out of the huge metal gates that were secured each evening. She was usually the last to leave and witnessed on at least 30 occasions an odd and terrifying apparition. I asked her to jot down a story, and she wrote, "Each time I've seen him, he's been bleeding from the head and mouth, and he's wandering about as if he's blind, walking with his arms held out. The people in the arcade say that someone was murdered in here, but I don't know anything about it." Carol once dared to challenge whatever it was. She said, "I saw the man coming towards me, so I shouted out, 'What do you want? Can you not just leave me alone?' And as soon as I raised my voice, the figure just vanished. Didn't see him again for about a year. Well, I made a few inquiries about that. See if there'd been a murder or a death in the arcade. And they had. A clerk for the Trustee Savings Bank had been beaten to death. The man, Joe Milley from North Shields, was found in his office in the bank, his skull shattered to pieces and his face battered to a pulp. The carpet soaked with his blood. He'd been murdered with a poker that lay at the scene, covered with his blood, hair and sinew. Whether this is Millie's ghost or not remains uncertain, but it certainly sounds pretty close." And while we're on the Newcastle side of the river, Europe's largest fair, the Hoppings, comes to Newcastle's town more every year. But in the early 1900s, a smaller version came into the city, and one of the most popular stalls belonged to a young traveller called Moore, and it was called the Emporium of Freaks. It featured sheep with five legs, dogs with two heads, and other rarities. Well, after having handed over your money, you discovered that all of these animals were either stuffed or pickled in jars. The stuffed creatures were more often than not composites, made to order by a taxidermist, putting two sheep together to create an apparent bizarre freak of nature. But more gruesome were the human heads, more displayed in jars. The cards told the public that they were the heads of mass murderers stolen from their graves. The police had been called several times to the fair as it travelled the country, yet each time they left satisfied that their heads were just models. However, while the fair was at Newcastle upon Tyne, one visit to the Emporium recognised the face of one of their heads. It was her father. He had died the previous year when the fair was in town. Moore must have spotted a fresh grave and taken the opportunity to add to his exhibits, severing the head roughly with a spade. She screamed, caused a huge rumpus, demanding that the police investigate. Moore tried to quiet her down, claiming that the heads were only clay, but it didn't placate her. The following morning, the police arrived, but Moore and his emporium had gone. On locating him 3 days later at Alnwick, they searched the tent for the heads, but they were nowhere to be seen, and neither were the specimens that included the pickled bodies of babies in glass jars. Nothing could be proven. And today, 2010, the descendants of Moore still have a regular plot at travelling fairs. So if someone should go missing, perhaps when the Hoppings come, should maybe have a look, just in case.
Tyneside Timber and SG Plastics have joined forces. The all-new Tyneside Timber and Plastics now offers an even faster service.
Hi, I was wondering if you stocked Redwood.
Here you are.
With a cleverly designed new branch to help you find what you need quickly and easily.
And do you know?
Drainage systems right here, mate.
There's even a new timber drive-through facility for fast, effective collection.
And I'm also after...
PVC pipe.
There you go.
And thanks.
The all-new Tyneside Timber and Plastics. Maiden Street, Newcastle. We're bigger and better than ever before.
Today's quiz, who was the greatest tap dancer on the silver screen?
Fred Astaire.
Certainly was. Question two, who could save you money on your car insurance by checking out over 110 companies?
Go compare, go
compare. There's a nothing funny in wasting money. So you'll thank your stars when you visit Go Compare.
Right. Final question. What will people do when they find they've been paying too much for their insurance?
They'll go spare.
Missed out on scrappage? Now you can save even more with Swappage from Vauxhall. A brand new scheme where owners of cars over 7 years old can save £3,000 or more. It couldn't be simpler. Take your old car to Evans House or Vauxhall and you can now swap it for a brand new 1-litre Corsa S3 door from only £7,491 or a new Astra 1.4 exclusive from only £11,491. That's Vauxhall Swappage from Evans House or Vauxhall. Ends March 31st. Savings based on list price. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello. If you know your credit score and how to manage it, there'll be no nasty surprises while purchasing your chaise longue or mobile telephone device.
And you'll know what they know before they know that you know. You know?
Yes, they know. So, why not join me now at my personal website, creditexpert.co.uk, to get your credit report and try the service free for 30 days.
New customers only. Monthly fee applies after free trial at creditexpert.co.uk.
At Alfa Romeo, we believe all things start with the heart, the engine. The new Alfa Romeo Mito is designed with what we call multi-air technology. Quite simply, it's a revolution. It reduces carbon dioxide emissions by up to 11%, fuel consumption by up to 10%, but remarkably, increases engine performance by up to 12%. After all, it is an Alfa Romeo. The new Alfa Romeo Mito with multi-air technology. Get to the next level. Figures based on the new 1.4 Multi-Air TB135 bhp versus 1.4 TB120 bhp. Log on to benfieldalfaromeo.co.uk or visit Warwick Street, Newcastle.
Paolo, in for Alan on Night Owls.
Sorry, son. Our research shows people don't care what you think.
Yeah, I could use some goddamn poontang myself right now.
It's the Night Owls, Paolo in for Alan, and it's Saturday night, which can mean only one thing. It's time to cross over to the United States of America, to Middletown, Ohio, for Bodie's Saturday surgery.
And now, on today's program...
A man of science.
He's unique, wouldn't you say?
He's healthy and normal and full of fun.
You're the man.
All of your tests indicate that you have the most advanced intellect in the history of humankind.
Bodie's Saturday Surgery.
Medic!
This doc rocks.
Yes, indeed he does. That's quite a good voiceover, that. Kind of recognize. Yeah, it's pretty good, that, wasn't it? Whoever did that, very talented young man, I'm sure. So, yeah, let's cross over then. Middletown, Ohio, on the line right now is Bodie. Hiya, Bodie.
Hey, how's it going?
Not so bad. How are you doing?
Great. I love your show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. That's very good of you to say so. We're very lucky to have you with us tonight, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I'm lucky to have you.
Well, we know you had some stuff going on, and we were very sorry to hear about it, but we're glad that you've been able to come and join us tonight.
Well, he was a good guy, and I think he would have wanted me to crack on.
Definitely, yeah. Well, I'm glad you've been able to.
Definitely. I love my Night Owls. I got to help the Night Owls.
Yes, you do. We need you, Bodie. We've got plenty of people. We've had loads of people ringing in already, so no doubt you're going to be able to help them. That's good. But before that, tell us what you've been up to this week.
Well, you know, when I heard the death of my friend, I kind of put everything on hold for that, and sure. I've just been kind of knocking around, you know, trying to get myself ready for that. It's sort of a bad thing, you know.
It's horrible. It's an awful thing.
It's horrible when you lose a friend, and I've kind of had to be the guy who calls around and tells everybody, you know.
Oh, dear.
And that was rough.
Yeah, that's tough.
The good thing, there is a good thing in this, and that is that they established a fund to contribute to the Heart Association.
Okay.
In this guy's name, and his name is Joe Manning, and I knew him when he was a Klingon.
Oh, right.
We were Klingons together in a Star Trek fan club.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I used to work for some of those Star Trek actors, and I fell in with some of the Klingons, and we used to pal around a lot. I've known the guy for 22 years.
Oh, wow.
Such a fantastic guy. We did a lot of things for charity together, he and I.
Yeah.
Oh, he's sounds, still doing things
sounds
for
like
charity.
A great man. Yeah, absolutely, he is, and that's the thing, isn't it? So he's still doing the good work, and, you know,
absolutely.
Let's hope he's gone to a better place. But what a sad thing to have happened.
Yes.
So, yeah. Well, here we go. We've got Leanne next door. She's got her headphones on, so we've got plenty of calls. I'm gonna play her jingle. Her microphone wasn't working before. I'm hoping it. Are you there, Leanne? Can you hear us? Can you
Uh-oh.
Hear us? Oh no.
She had issues last time.
Oh dear, this is not good. We can't hear her. I don't know what's. I'm not quite sure why we can't hear her, but we can't. I'll tell you what. We'll play her jingle anyway. Oh, Leanne. I tell you what, we can't hear you, Leanne. We can't. Do you want to run around here and talk in here? Is that okay?
Yeah.
There's a problem with her microphone next door. It's not working. So she's going to run around and she's bringing a sheet with her.
Now so I know what to get her for Christmas.
A new microphone for Leanne.
Absolutely.
Here she
Maybe
comes.
Maybe some elevator lifts for her shoes.
Yeah,
know?
No, that would be good, actually. That's a good idea. Here you go, Leanne. Sit yourself down there. There's your microphone. Say hello then.
Hi.
There you
Yay.
Go. There she is, finally. I don't know what's happened next door, but we'll sort that out for tomorrow.
Well,
so what have you got then? We've had a few people calling in with some problems.
Lots of questions.
What have you got there then?
So a lady has rang in to say she had an ultrasound on her stomach and mm-hmm. she went for the results and they said that she has fat around the liver and
yeah.
that she needs to cut down
yeah.
on meals, but apparently she doesn't eat much anyway and she isn't like overweight or anything. So
right.
she was wondering if there was any other ways of getting rid of the fat.
Mm.
Well, it's called hyperlipidemia, and it basically happens to people. Even some people get it who don't have that bad of a diet. And the only way to really cut it down is to go on an extreme reduced-fat diet. Mm. And if she's already kind of thin, that's going to be walking a kind of a dangerous line
yeah.
for her. She wants to get on some good cholesterol medication. That's number one. And she wants to try to get some exercise. And she wants to also ask the doctor about something to reduce the amount of cortisol that's being pumped through her system. Cortisol creates that fat around the liver, and it's a result of stress. So if she's under a whole lot of stress, she needs to de-stress a little bit and ask the doctor for something to fight that cortisol.
All right, cool. And what's it called again, Bodie? What did you say the condition's called?
Mia.
What was it? Hyper something?
Hyperlipidemia.
Hyperlipidemia, wow. All
yeah.
right, then, so there we go. Exercise, low-fat diet, and but as you say, it's going to be tough because she's already slim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, let's hope that helps.
Hopefully.
All right.
Hopefully.
So,
Thank you. All right, then, Leanne, what's next?
Another lady has phoned in to say that she is photophobic. And I was like, ooh, photophobic.
Photophobic,
yeah.
Like scared of photographs.
Well, that's what I thought, but apparently not, no. When she goes outside, she bumps into things and apparently, like, the glare of the sun, like, she can't see and it, like, blinds her, sort of,
oh,
so
dear.
To speak. So she went and she got glasses, but apparently they're not working at all. And so she was
right.
wondering if she went to a doctor, maybe that might help instead of going to, like, an optician's, because she doesn't think that it is something to do with glasses, so to speak. She can't even leave the house.
I've never heard of that.
She might have a condition called porphyria, which is an allergy to the sunlight. And porphyria is a genetic disease that will suddenly spring on you in adulthood. You know, some kids are born with it, but some people can get it right in the middle of adulthood. It's very strange. And it makes you pretty much allergic to the sun. You can't go out in the sun without having all sorts of bizarre side effects from it, and visual problems and dizziness are some of those problems. Even if she doesn't have all the symptoms and just has some of the symptoms, she might just be getting porphyria, you know. Apart from that, you know, if she's taking any kind of medication that makes her sensitive to the sun, she's going to want to wear some really dark photo gray sunglasses
yeah,
when she's out. That's going to help sort her out quite a bit.
Wow, so this can just come on later in life, you say? You can have no signs of it at all, and it can just hit you later in life?
And that, and allergies can do that too, you know. There's all kinds of conditions that can spring up on you out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's one of them.
Wow, okay, well, that sounds like that's a distinct possibility. So if that's the case, dark sunglasses is obviously the best bet for that one.
Yep.
It seems like the obvious thing to do. So there you go, dark sunglasses is what you need.
See the doctor too and get tested genetically for porphyria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then. All right, Leanne, cool. What's next?
So a lady has asked that she keeps getting dizzy spells, and she was told it was vertigo, which is a quite common thing, isn't it?
Mm.
And she was just wondering if there was anything she could do about it, because it's been like 2 years now. And she said it doesn't happen all the time, just occasionally, but when it does, it's like she can't even move at all. She can't stand, she can't sit, she can't lie down. It's just literally that she has to just sit there and feel really dizzy kind of thing.
Well, she's not having any other symptoms that might have brought her to the doctor by now. She could have something called Meniere's disease, which is an inner ear infection that doesn't really manifest itself as an infection with fever and such, but it causes an imbalance of the fluid in your inner ear and can make you dizzy and make you have vertigo. So she might want to go in and get checked by her GP or an ear, nose, and throat specialist for something called Meniere's disease.
That's really interesting, actually. There's a friend of mine who, we were on the boat when we went over to Amsterdam a couple of weeks back, and you get this thing when you're on the ship where obviously it's moving around. You get off the boat and you can feel dizzy. I don't know if you had this, Leanne, when you got off the boat, but for the next couple of days, I was still feeling dizzy, and you kind of feel like you have your ship legs, don't you? And I did say ship. It's your ship legs, apparently, they call it. And yeah, you feel like you're still wobbling around a little bit. Now, one of my friends who was on the boat as well is still having that 3 weeks after they got off the ship, because we went over a couple of weeks beforehand to set the stuff up. She's still got the problem. And
yeah.
I wondered if maybe this is... It's something to do with the inner ear, I guess. It's maybe something's been...
Yeah, when you're dizzy, it's a fluid shift in your inner ear. Causes those little, you've got a little thing that looks like a seashell inside your inner ear called the cochlea.
Yeah, the cochlea, yeah.
Cochlea has little hair-like projections that stand up in it, and when you're hearing sounds, those little hairs move and transmit the sound in your ears. If you've got Meniere's disease or any other inner ear infection or problem, what can happen is those little hairs can lay down, and you could just be smitten with the worst case of dizziness. And it's sort of an intermittent thing, but it can last a while. And when you go out to sea, it seems like that gets worse.
Yeah, that's strange, isn't it?
It's the motion. It's the motion going on in the currents.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on the vessel that caused it causes the hairs to lay down in your cochlea and
right.
Give you dizziness.
So over time, it's possible the hairs will just stand up by themselves and everything will go back to normal.
Generally, if you're on land long enough and you get away from the dizzying effects of the water, you'll be all right. But
it can take longer in some cases, obviously.
You bet.
Yeah. So say it didn't go away, and with this person's case as well, say it never went back to normal, it didn't stop having these dizzy spells, is there an operation that they can have?
There is.
They can fix it, yeah?
Go in and have a surgery done, which will... relieve some of the dizziness, the cochlear dizziness.
Mm.
It's just a surgery that helps people to regulate the fluid inside their inner ear. It would take me an hour to explain it to you over the phone, but...
Sure.
They can Google.
yeah. But there are answers out there anyway. That's what we need to know. So there is, if it didn't go away by itself, if the hairs didn't stand back up by themselves, there is options there. There is something that can be done. So that's good to know.
It's strange, Seth, because when I fell over and hit my chin on the floor and I had to go to hospital, and I kept feeling really dizzy, and they said I had vertigo after that.
Really?
I hit my face, yeah.
So that could be the same thing, couldn't it? Could be
your
hairs on your cochlea.
Yeah, they said it was off
on any impacts with your head, that's going to cause that to happen.
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing.
So how long did it take you to feel normal again?
Oh, only took like 2 days.
Normal, obviously, you're not normal anyway, are you?
Thanks,
no. But a couple of days and you were right as rain.
Yeah, they said if it didn't get any better, I would have to go back to the doctors and they would try and like shake it back to normal. I was a bit worried.
If in doubt, yeah, so you just shake your head again and maybe it'll go back to normal.
Hopefully that's, hit it again.
That's interesting. Oh, well,
it's
okay, at least
now.
It fixed itself.
Yeah, it's fine now, yeah.
Cool. All right, then. Cool. We've got that one sorted.
Yes.
Thank you, Bodie. Excellent, as ever. Next up, then, Leanne, what have we got?
Right, so a lady has rang in on behalf of her daughter, anyway, to say that her daughter has really big breasts. And they're really,
Excellent.
Actually, it's starting to hurt her now, like her back and her neck. And she's got, like, indentations off, like, where her bra straps are on her shoulders. Not that bad. And so she's thinking about getting, like, a breast reduction operation, but she said she's really scared because she's heard all these horror stories about them and she doesn't know what's going to happen when she goes, and she just wants to know, well, if you know, what she's going to go through, basically.
Well, she's got what's called hypermastia. That's when a young teenage girl gets enormous breasts, And it's a sort of a genetic thing that happens, you know.
Well, no, I think she's about 44, I think. And Mom was saying that she doesn't have, nobody in the family has big breasts or anything. There's just her, just the daughter.
Oh, that's what the phone goes. Did you say the daughter is?
I think she said about 44.
Wow, she's an adult, so.
Yeah.
If her nipples are placed right on her breasts, they can do keyhole surgery and remove that, which is, you know, just a couple of stitches. And they can remove her nipple, go in through the nipple, remove a lot of that tissue, and leave the mammary glands behind, just reduce the size of her breasts, and then put the nipples back on before she wakes up. And she'll wake up with smaller breasts. She'll be sore for about a week. She'll have to do exercises, you know, to get herself back up and going.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as traumatic as it used to be.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
And they have new ways of doing it so that there is far less pain. And I think that most surgeons will anesthetize her before she wakes up. So she'll wake up pretty comfortable.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Surgery. So she really doesn't have much to be afraid of. See, the thing is, I recommend that because if it's affecting her neck and it's making her, you know, making her back hurt. I mean, this is a therapeutic surgery, you know. She really needs to have it done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you hear about these cases sometimes. So, and sometimes it's larger women as well. I mean, they could probably lose some weight. I'm not saying this is the case with her at all, but sometimes you hear that's the case. And I think guys always have this thing and they think women should never get their breasts reduced. It's not right. But clearly, sometimes the breasts are so large that it's causing all manner of problems. And a bad back, it's going to cause things later on in life that are just unacceptable. So, you know, these things sometimes have to be done.
It's an incredibly difficult thing for them. Their posture goes.
Yeah.
It's like carrying big bags of wet sand on their chest, and it's just horrible.
Yeah.
Well,
not good.
You know.
But as you say, the surgery these days, keyhole surgery, it's a lot better, a lot more comfortable, and so the option's there. She'll be right as rain very soon after, I would think.
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right, then, Bodie, thank you very much. We've got plenty more on the way. I'm just going to stop and take a very quick break, and we'll be back with more Bodie in just a second.
Whatever your problem, call Bodie, our resident medic, on 0191-488-3188. Bodie's Saturday Surgery, only on Night Owls.
Done your homework, my mum likes to say. Got your bus pass, your lunch, seriously, every day. Remind me to remind you, says Dad, there's something good on TV. Made me think of you, so don't forget to remind me. Don't forget your scarf, it's chilly outside. And don't forget the next jab against cervical cancer, I replied. It's cool, Mum, I'm on the ball. Because I remembered without being reminded at all.
You need all three HPV jabs to be armed against cervical cancer. Visit nhs.uk/HPV or call 0845 602 3303.
At British Gas, we know it hasn't been easy this winter. That's why we've dropped our gas prices, giving you the cheapest standard gas and electricity tariff at average consumption of any major supplier in Britain. So that means a little less brrrr and a lot more ah. To find out about the cheapest standard dual fuel, visit britishgas.co.uk. Look after your world this winter with British Gas.
Rich and Cat,
the Big Top 40 Show.
So Tiny Temper made it 2 weeks at number one.
Could Lady Gaga and Beyonce knock him off the top spot this week?
Plus, on this week's show, you could win a 40-inch Samsung TV and a Blu-ray home cinema system so you can host your own screening of the Twilight Saga New Moon, which is out on DVD and Blu-ray on the 22nd of March.
This afternoon from 4.
Metro Radio.
Let's get back to the Doc That Rocks, Bodie's Saturday Surgery, only on Alan Robson's Night Owls.
Yes, indeed, it's Alan Robson's Night Owls. Paolo sitting in tonight, and I'm sat next to Leanne. And on the line, we have Bodie from Middletown, Ohio, and we're answering all of your problems, aren't we?
Yes, indeedy.
That's exactly what we're doing. Right, Leanne, what have we got next?
So, a lady rang in to say that she fell over about 3 weeks ago, and she just initially hurt her ribs, which obviously you can't do much about. But now she's saying that she can feel like one of the ribs sticking out.
Oof.
When she obviously feels over them, and she's worried in case it's something more major than what she initially thought.
Oh, dear.
If she is an older lady and she broke her rib like that, that's very worrisome. The thing with broken ribs is they can easily turn inward and puncture a lung. If they're not, you know, if they're not knitting together with one another, you got a problem. So if she's feeling one of the ribs poking out, it could be one of two things. Either it's healing with a bump on it, which sometimes broken bones will do, or it's not matched together properly. And in the case that it's moving around and not matched together properly, there is a big possibility that if she moves wrong, she could puncture a lung with it.
Oh, my
so
God.
I recommend that she goes in and has that x-rayed.
Absolutely.
At the very least,
yeah,
get an x-ray and find out.
Go in.
Yeah, make sure it's not going to go in on her.
That is very scary stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, imagine that. She just turns the wrong way or leans the wrong way, and that could be it. Yeah. Wow,
so
get an x-ray.
Nothing to play around with, kiddies.
No, definitely not. Yeah, x-ray immediately. First thing.
I'd take her straight in.
Yeah.
I really would.
Yeah. That is scary stuff. All right, cool. Right, Leanne, what have we got next?
So Christine rang in to say that she went into the doctors and apparently she has a dropped womb. And they've told her that they want to fit a balloon in her, I wasn't too sure. And they, to lift the wall back up in the womb, but she's not sure what procedure this is or what they're going to do or that sort of stuff.
Well, they're going to take her into a surgical suite. And they're going to have her what they call twilight anesthetized, which is she'll be loaded. She won't know what's going on. And they will put a probe up inside of her, and they will inflate a little balloon that's in there, and it will shift that wall. And it's not painful to her. She's not going to feel it or know what's going on. And then they'll remove it and wake her up.
Simple as that.
It's that simple.
And
now, what they'll
there.
Do is they'll make her lay down for a whole afternoon after that.
Right, yeah.
She's not going to be allowed to get up and move around and jump around because they want it to kind of stay that way.
Yeah, of course.
They're going to want her to rest for a little while.
But then that's it. She'll be good as new forevermore, basically.
Oui, yes.
Wow. That's impressive, isn't it? That's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. Like
medicine is the coolest.
It really is. It's fascinating listening to you every Saturday telling us more about it, but the stuff that they can do. Wow.
Well, I read up about it all the time. It's just amazing. I mean, the new things that are coming out, stem cells, and I mean, it's just amazing. You know, they're using plastic. I saw on television today, they're using a plastic liquid polymer to encourage nerve cells to grow together. So that they don't have to use stem cells.
Oh, I see.
So they're working on something like that. So the whole stem cell issue might end up being nothing.
That's incredible.
Because they may end up being able to use a plastic, kind of a liquid-like polymer to encourage those nerve endings in paraplegics and people who... And it could even, you know, lead to regenerating the tips of severed fingers and things like that.
Oh, my word.
Never know.
That's incredible, isn't it?
It's amazing. I mean, we're doing all sorts of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And this sort of stuff as well. I mean, we're talking the next 50 years. This could be happening, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah. They're already growing cartilage to make new ears for people who have their ears burned off.
Wow. How about that?
Unbelievable.
So do you reckon could they use the same sort of techniques to make people effectively live forever? So when you get old and your organs age, could they just generate you a new organ that's young?
I think that it's going to get real close to that, but, you know, personally, I wouldn't want that.
No, well, I don't think anyone really would. I mean, how would we possibly exist if everyone could live forever?
Patients for that kind of technology would make life a lot better to live for a lot of really sick people.
Mm.
So it would, you know, something like that happens, and, you know, first thing you know, I'm out of this wheelchair.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I really would love to come over there and practice.
Oh, yeah, no, that would be great, wouldn't it?
I think I'd love that.
Yeah, yeah. It's strange, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, of course, we'd love that to happen. We'd love you to be out of that chair. And for this technology, for these techniques to be used in that way to help people with ailments and disabilities and lost things, that's exactly what it should be for. But if it does exist, it's going to get used for other things, isn't it? If
this, yes, it is.
And unfortunately, that's just human nature. It's going to get used. And then the highest bidder, if someone has enough money and decides they want to grow themselves a new heart so they can live for another 50 years,
yeah,
it's going to happen. It's pretty scary.
That is.
Yeah.
you got to think about all the internal organs. You'd have to regrow every one of them because...
Well, of course, yeah, yeah. But it could, if you had the money, if you had the money, it could be done, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So then you'd just be... You'd probably still... The outside of you would still look old, but the inside... Yeah. Unless you're going to grow new skin, I guess, as well. It's possible.
You'd be able to hide pound coins in your wrinkles. I mean, after a while. But...
My word. There we go. Oh, well, interesting stuff there. It's fascinating. Well, have you got anything else, Leanne? Have we got any more?
That's everything.
Is that it? Is it?
All my questions.
Right, okay. Well, I've got a couple here, right? Now, I must stress, these are not me. Before this sounds like I have a friend with this problem. I'm really talking about me. I'm not talking about me, okay? This is genuinely someone I know.
I believe you, Paolo.
Someone I know has incredibly smelly feet, right?
Yeah.
Incredibly smelly feet. Now, they came around, I'm a very clean, very tidy person, and they came around to my house and they stank the flat out with their feet, okay?
Yeah.
If they're listening, they know who they are, but obviously I won't say. The person claims that they shower all the time and you know, wears new shoes, washes their socks regularly, etc., does all the things you're supposed to do. However, it's still there and it's bad. What do you think could be going on?
Well, that could be anything from diet. Some people's diet is so bad that it causes them to have bad, smelly feet.
Mm.
It can cause all their body sweat to stink, you know.
Right.
Somebody that eats a lot of, if you know somebody goes to the chip shop every other day and they're eating a lot of vinegar, malt vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
That'll come out in your pores and it'll come out in your feet.
Ah, I see.
That's called acetic acid, and it'll leach out into your pores. People with really sweaty feet, I mean, a lot of sweat in their feet, sometimes they have to take extraordinary measures to keep their feet from stinking.
Mm.
You can go to your chemist and get an insole, a charcoal-based insole, to put in your trainers or your regular shoes, and that will effectively eliminate foot odor.
Ah, that's a good tip.
So that's something that they can do. The other thing is, they can make sure that they've got several pairs of shoes and that they rotate shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day wear a different shoe and let the other shoe dry out.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, will that keep the odor situation to a minimum, because odor-causing bacteria can't live in a dry environment.
Right, right.
But it will also have their feet be more comfortable and they'll be less likely to get bunions and corns and things.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
Things you can recommend to your friend.
Yeah, absolutely, I will do. And is there a chance, could it be a fungal thing? Because I know, do fungal things smell?
If they're not athlete's foot, I wouldn't suspect it.
No, no. So it's most likely just sweat, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. All right, yep. Well, hopefully the person is listening and we'll take that advice on board before he comes around to my house again. All right. Just one other thing that I've got here. Now, this is me, actually. This is me. And it's my knee. Now, I don't have any problem with my knee at all. I've never had a problem. However, I go to the gym quite a bit. And sometimes if I run too far, well, not too far, maybe I'll do a 15K run or something like that. For the next couple of days, my knee gives me grief. It kind of... It's just, I don't know, it's like a repetitive strain thing. I'm not quite sure. But it's just the one knee. I don't know if it's my technique, the way I'm running, but it will last for a couple of days and then it will be back to normal, right as rain. But it just seems to happen just when I do too much.
Where exactly is the pain?
It's right in the kneecap. It's kind of, I don't know, maybe right in the middle, actually, kind of back behind the kneecap.
Well, what you're doing when you're running is you're running out the synovial fluid that's there underneath your kneecap where the joint space is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fluid that your body produces called synovial fluid. It's slightly greasy and it's very molecularly dense, and it's the fluid that sort of shock absorbs.
Ah.
Prevents friction. And if you've got a lack of that through, you know, running it out in one knee, you know, how old are you? Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm nearly 26 again.
Okay. You're way too young to be having age-related problems, so...
Yeah.
I'm thinking that you probably got an issue with the synovial fluid behind your, you know, patella.
Oh, right.
You can go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And they can give you a medication that will increase the production of synovial fluid. They can also give you an injection of something called Synvisc.
Right.
Synvisc is the synovial fluid, but it's artificial. And then you go running after you have the Synvisc injection and no problem at all.
Now, that's clever. I like that.
Yeah.
That sounds great. All right.
That's
well,
one of those technologies.
Yeah, exactly. This is the thing, isn't it? How clever is that? So you just get a fake version of this thing that I need, and there you go. Bob's your uncle.
That's the one.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you, Bodie. That's excellent.
No problem, my friend.
Great stuff. All right. Well, that's pretty much all our problems for this week, isn't it?
Don't yes, we, indeed. Happy and I with was that? Really happy to deal with them. And as always, I love the Night Owls. Remember to watch your chip pan. We don't want any chip pan fires up north.
We don't want any chip pan fires. Absolutely not. Thank you, Bodie. Well, thanks very much for coming on as well. I know it's been a difficult week for you. All our thoughts are with you and obviously the family and friends of the person who sadly passed away.
Yeah. I appreciate your thoughts being with me, and I appreciate all you guys, and the Night Owls rock.
We certainly do, and so do you, Bodie.
Good job.
Good job. All right. Thank you
excellent
very much.
Good job of filling in for Alan.
Oh, thank you, Bodie. It's good of you to say so. Thanks a lot. All right. Well, we'll speak to you next week on the big show.
All right. Cheers,
have
mate.
A good week. All right, then. Thanks, Bodie. Bye now.
Well, bye-bye.
Bodie, a lone ranger with the power to heal Night Owls. Back at the same time next Saturday night, only on Metro Radio.
Is an absolute legend, Bodie. Thank you very much, Bodie. Any problems that you have, anything you want answered by Bodie, you can ring up. He's back next Saturday, of course. 01914883188. The lines are going mad right now. I'm sure plenty of you are ringing up with your similar problems. You may have heard something there that touched a nerve with you. Maybe so you suffer from a similar thing. I don't know. But anyway, thank you for your calls. Leanne's back there taking them right now. We're going to do Rough Cuts. After that, we've got your third clue, a few more calls, and then we've got a Disney mix coming up as well. So let's go straight to this week's Rough Cuts.
Hey, it's yours truly, Jason Derulo, and I'm here with Alan on Metro.
Fortune and fame, I'd even give you my name.
The sounds of Jason Derulo. The track's called The Sky Is The Limit. And his self-titled album has gone triple platinum in the States, making him a very, very wealthy young man. More hot new talent comes in the form of Tiffany Page. This track is called Walk Away Slow. That's the sound of Tiffany Page. And next we have another hot young talent. This is Maria Mena. She's one of Europe's biggest singer-songwriters. 23 years old, she's half Norwegian, half American. And this track is called All This Time.
You self-destructed little girl. Pick yourself up, don't blame the world. So you screwed up, but you're gonna be okay.
Now call your boyfriend and apologize. You pushed him pretty far away last night. He really loves you, you just don't always love yourself.
I think that is just gorgeous. A beautiful, beautiful song. Maria Mena. And next up, we have General Fiasco. The new single, Buildings, is out this Monday. That's the sound of General Fiasco, and the track's called Buildings. It's out this Monday, the 22nd of March. And Baby Bird are back. They've been around for years, haven't they? I make this their 10th studio album. It's called X Maniac. They've already had a single from it, Unlovable. But the track I'm going to play you is the first track on the album, and it's called Like Then.
I will kill you, said the five-year-old as he left his knives at the school gate. So I took her home.
With a vengeance, the album's X Maniac, and that track is Like Them. Now, we seem to be featuring Romanian artists on the show quite a bit recently. Can't think why. But Edward Meyer is indeed Romanian, and this track has been massive all over Europe. It's finally hitting UK shores, and it's had over 30 million views on YouTube already. It's a big track, Edward Meyer, and it's called Stereo Love. Romania's Edward Meyer, Stereo Love. That's released on the 26th of April. Now, we love Sandy Tom on the show. We've played her tracks for years, and we love her. She's coming back with a new album. It's not out till May, but there's a single on the way on April the 18th, and it's called This Old World.
this old world's got a hold on me. All I feel is this anxiety. Keep on moving, oh, out of this place. The only thing that stops me is when I see your face. Well, this old world's crazy mad. Nursing the broken heart, so many feelings sad. There's just too much to think about and not enough time.
It's Sandy Tom. The track's called This Old World. And that's Joe Bonamassa on guitar. Awesome. Love it. Now the new Young Pony Club are back. They've got their follow-up album. It's out now. It's called The Optimist. And this track I'm going to play you from it, it's called We Want To. By the new Young Pony Club. The album's called The Optimist, it's out now. And it's actually a really interesting listen. There's some weird use of sound. There's some ethereal sound, some pretty dark bits actually. I'd highly recommend it, new Young Pony Club. Now Simply Red released a compilation album just in time for Mother's Day. It's out now, it's called Songs of Love. And it featured two brand new songs. One of them is called I Have the Love.
Somebody who's proud and believes, who hears what you need, who's found underneath. I have the love of a woman. I have the love of a woman. Gaze at me, look at me, listen to me now, as I show you what true love can do. What you've given me now, every day feels something new. I have the love of a woman. I have the love of a woman. It's you that I need. The truth is how good we can be.
Simply Red, and that's a new track. It's called I Have the Love, and it features on the compilation album Songs of Love. Now, Amy MacDonald, we're a big fan of her, as you know. Alan's been playing this quite a lot recently. This track is called Spark.
Hi, I'm Amy MacDonald, and you're listening to Alan on Metro.
Don't want to see the stars. Don't want to see the moon. Don't wanna see the sun, it rises too soon. Don't wanna see the dirt, don't wanna see the night. All the afternoon it feels about right.
I'm not
The brilliant Amy MacDonald and that spark. Now, Timbaland has his fingers in many, many pies. This time, it's Justin Timberlake's pie. And the new track is called Carry Out. It's out on the 26th of April.
Baby, you're looking fire hot. I have you open all night like an IHOP. I take you home, baby, let you keep me company. You give me some of you, I give you some of me. You look good, baby, must taste heavenly. I'm pretty sure that you got your own recipe. So pick it up, yeah, I like you. I just can't get enough, I gotta drive through. Cause it's me, you, you, me, you. All night, have it your way. For play before I feed your appetite. Let me get my ticket, baby, let me get in line. I can tell the way you like it, baby, supersize. Hold on, you got yours, let me get mine. I ain't leaving till they turn over the clothesline, check it.
Take my order, cause your body like a
carry out.
Let me walk into your body till you
hear me out.
Turn me on, my baby, don't you
cut me out.
Turn me on, my baby, don't you
cut me out.
Take my order, cause your body like a
carry out.
And let me walk into your body till it's
lights out.
Turn me on, my baby, don't you
cut me out.
Timbaland presents Carry Out with Justin Timberlake. It's out on the 26th of April. And Paolo Nutini is just doing some brilliant stuff at the moment, I think. The next single, out on the 19th of April, is called Candy.
I was perched outside in the pouring rain, trying to make myself a seal. Then I'll float to you, my darling, with the evening on my tail. Although not the most honest means of travel, it gets me there nonetheless. I'm a heartless man at worst, babe, and a helpless one at best. Darling, I'll bathe your skin, I'll even wash your clothes. Just give me some candy before I go. Oh, darling, I'll kiss your eyes and lay you down on your rug. Just give me some candy after my hug. Oh, I'm often fine.
Good music. And a good name too. Paolo Nutini. That track's called Candy. Next, one of the world's biggest cult bands, 30 Seconds to Mars. Now, they released their new single. It's the title track from their recently issued album, and it's called This Is War. Tremendous stuff. That's 30 Seconds to Mars. This Is War. Now, Diana Vickers first came to the nation's attention on the X Factor a couple of years back. She's beautiful. She's not got a bad voice either.
Hello, I'm Diana Vickers, and you're listening to Alan Robson on Metro Radio.
We'll be right back.
That's Diana Vickers. And the track, as you may have guessed, is called Once. It's out on the 19th of April. And I happen to think it's pretty good, actually. I think she's going to do big things. Someone else who I think is going to do big things is Casey Battaglia. She's already had 1 million hits on YouTube, 2 million plays on MySpace, and I think this song's going to do pretty well. This is called Crazy Possessive. Casey Battaglia. It says here she's a teen sensation. She's actually 22. Hey-o. But whatever you want to talk about, you should be giving me a call right now. It's Paolo in for Alan on Night Owls for one night only. Give me a call, whatever you want to talk about. 0191 488 3188. Let's get back to it.
Paolo on Alan Robson's Night Owls.
What the hell am I doing here?
1 in 5 16-year-olds have been involved in violence after drinking alcohol.
6,000 children a year aged 15 or under end up in hospital because of alcohol.
Under 14s who drink are 3 times more likely to go on to take drugs.
Eventually, all children face tough decisions. The sooner we talk to them about alcohol, the less chance drink will make decisions for them. 7 out of 10 kids look to their parents for advice about drinking, so search online for Why Let Drink Decide. Estimates based on official research.
Visit Summerfield and the Cooperative for your chance to win the Ultimate Football World Tour. Flying you and 3 friends business class to Madrid, Los Angeles, Sydney and Tokyo. Enjoy 3 weeks in 5-star accommodation with a match in each city. To enter, spend £20 or more in store. Pick up an entry leaflet and mail it in with your receipt at Summerfield and the Cooperative. Ends 31st of March. Minimum age 18. Full terms and conditions at goodwithfood.co.uk.
My name is Anne Johnson and I have dementia. It's caused by Alzheimer's affecting my brain. I often can't remember things. I also repeat myself. Some people shy away when they hear about my condition. But be patient with me and don't run away when I say dementia. Understand it more and help out, and I'll be able to do many of the things I love for a while yet. I have dementia. I also have a life.
For simple ways to help someone living with dementia, visit nhs.uk/dementia. Dementia. The more we understand, the more we can help.
The magic is back with Nanny McPhee and the Big Bang.
The person you need is Nanny McPhee.
Emma Thompson returns as the extraordinary nanny who appears when she's needed the most and wanted the least.
I hear you've been naughty.
Experience the magic for yourself this Easter. For your chance to win a fun-filled adventure of your own in Los Angeles, just tell us what this mischievous child did next.
I had a bag of Percy sweets, and I wanted to eat them. And I kept sneaking one and another one till they were all gone.
Go online at metroradio.co.uk with Nanny McPhee and the Big Bang in cinemas March 26.
Paolo, in for Alan on Night Owls.
You may experience a slight tingling as we conduct the experiment. It'll feel something like this.
It's the Night Owls and it's Paolo in for Alan, who is having a well-earned night off and a bit of fun as well. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So it's time for your third clue. We've already had two. We've got your third one ready to go right now. First clue was, they're long, thin and slimy and you find them in your garden. All right, so you need that word. The next one was Mr. Lawrenson's first name. Mr. Lawrenson's first name. So you need that word. And your third clue
for another word, you'd go here to buy stuff. All right, you'd go here to buy stuff. So you've got three words there. We're looking for a word that goes in front of each of those three words. You've got your fourth one coming up very soon indeed, and we've got a Disney mix on the way as well. Now, just before we go across to Donna in Sunderland, who's waiting patiently, we've had an email. We had Bodie on earlier, of course, talking about all things and helping people, as he does every week. And we had a caller who was wanting a breast uplift, basically, a breast reduction. Had an email from Denise in Washington. Thank you for this, Denise. She had a breast uplift about 11 years ago, and it was the best thing that she ever did. She also had a few friends who've had reductions and for the same reasons, and they all had fantastic jobs done. She says, my breasts are much better, and also the area around my nipples was made smaller too, as they were very large. I think your caller should get it done. It's amazing what doctors can do these days. My friend's bust is much better, and she's really happy with them. She's got no more back pain and no more indentations in her shoulders where the straps go for the bras. Tell your caller to get referred and she'll be able to ask the surgeon loads of questions, pros and cons, before they go through with it. So thank you for that, Denise. Obviously had a very good experience. Friends who've had the same thing done, good experience. So yeah, that's the advice. Go for it. Get it done. All right. Thank you, Bodie, for all your help as well. That was great. I hope you enjoyed Rough Cuts. Good fun. Good fun doing it. All right, let's cross straight over to Sunderland. We have Donna on the line. Hiya, Donna.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
My God, it's so weird to hear you on the line instead of Alan.
It's weird for me to be speaking on the line instead of Alan, let me tell you.
Are you tired?
I'm a little tired, but no, I think your adrenaline goes when you do this sort of thing, I think, and I'm running on pure adrenaline at the minute, and it's great. I'm loving it.
When do you finish?
Well, we finish at 2.
You finish at 2,
yeah.
So you'll be back in about 3 o'clock, 3:30?
Well, possibly not, because I'll probably go out and celebrate. Could be even later than that.
You're going to go on the PIFF, are you?
I wouldn't put it that way. I'm going to go out and meet some friends and enjoy myself.
Maybe
a drink or two. We'll see how we go.
Well, we all know what Alan's up to tonight.
Do you think so?
Oh, of course. Bodie. And everybody, don't do that. Because we know what he's up to. He's with his Romanian girlfriend.
Do you think so?
Yes, and he's having a little bit of rumpy bumpy tonight, isn't he? We know that.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. He didn't tell me where he's going. He just said, I'm having a night off. need you on the show. I didn't ask. It's rude to ask, isn't it? So I don't know what he's doing.
It's rude to ask. Come on, Paolo, you know.
I've no idea. I don't know what he's doing.
We're both not stupid.
I think he's sitting at home reading a book.
No, he's
having
not
a night
knitting.
Off.
He's not got his knitting needles out and he's not doing anything. You know what he's doing. Yes.
What can I say? I've no idea. Well, we'll find out. You call him next week and ask him.
We know anyway.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ring you up about was, you know, the film Titanic.
I do, yes. Very well, in fact.
Right. The film was on tonight.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's absolutely a fantastic film.
Isn't it?
I love the film. But my husband was sitting in the armchair saying, oh, he was saying, oh, it's a girly film. No, it's not a girly film, is it?
I don't think it is a girly film at all. I think it's a brilliant film.
Thank you. Because, I mean, James Cameron did it, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. The last film he did before he did Avatar, yeah.
And he was a very, very big star.
Well, that was before Avatar. That was the biggest film of all time, wasn't it? Biggest grossing film, yeah. Very successful.
Because I said to my husband when he's watching it, and he said, oh, you've just been a big girl watching it. And I said,
no.
I said to him, well, at the when this film was published, it was actually a block seller. It smashed.
It was
everything.
The real deal. Do you know what? I'll let you into a little secret here, Donna. Do you know how many? Uh-huh. Do you know how many times I went to the cinema to see that film?
Uh-huh. Go on.
6 times.
Did you really?
6 times. Leanne's laughing at me. What are you laughing at, Leanne?
Leanne.
It's a great film.
Tell her not to laugh.
Outrageous.
Are you taking the PIFF?
I'm absolutely not, Donna. No, I promise you, I went to the cinema 6 times to see that film. I loved it.
And Leonardo DiCaprio, my God, he could be S-H-A-G.
Oh, careful,
no,
yeah.
We're
not spelling it either, though. I think we know what we're saying, though. I think we know what you're saying, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good-looking fella, isn't he?
He is a good-looking bloke, isn't he?
Well, you know what? This is interesting, because I went to see Shutter Island yesterday, OK? And he's
Shutter
in that.
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island, it's called. It's a new Martin Scorsese film. Very good. And he's in that. But he looks so much older. I mean, so much older.
Titanic he's going to be, because in Titanic, that was in 1995 or something.
I think it was it 97, 96? It was around that time, 96.
Yeah.
So we're going forward a little bit, aren't we? But he looks more than 13 years older, though, let me tell you. He's aged, I wouldn't say he's aged that well, to be honest.
You wouldn't say he's aged that well.
No,
so
I don't think he's aged that well.
Older,
I think he looks a lot older, yeah. And not so good looking, I have to say. But that's it's a matter of opinion. People might think differently. But, yeah, I thought he looks a lot different is all I can really say.
Well, the only thing I like him in is in Titanic. I don't like him. I've seen him in other movies, but I do like Leonardo DiCaprio just in Titanic.
Yeah, I actually think he's a very good actor. I think he's genuinely a very good actor. He's done some great films. I think he did Who's Eating Gilbert Grape, I seem to remember. He did The Basketball Diaries. Very, very good performances.
He did that other film, didn't he? That one with the knights.
With the knights?
The knights. It was like old medieval sort of thing.
Not sure about that.
He did something like old medieval. I'm sure he did an old medieval thing.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure which film that is.
Right. You're not sure about that, right? I know you're really quick to get on. Right. Alan, right, is into ghosts.
He
I
is,
don't know
yeah.
whether you're into ghosts.
Well, I work on this show and I kind of have to be into ghosts. I think it's something that goes
right.
part and parcel with the show.
Okay. You've been to Muncaster Castle, haven't you?
I have.
Right. Was that real, what you actually visioned and saw and in Muncaster Castle?
Well, we don't fake stuff, if that's what you're saying.
No.
Everything that I said was absolutely, completely true.
I believe that.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I've always been very sceptical, OK? Before I started working on Night Owls, very sceptical about the whole thing.
What did you feel, Paolo?
At Muncaster particularly, it was the changes in temperature, really, when you're in the rooms. Obviously, you heard the show, you'll have heard me describing it. It's the changes in temperature. That wasn't the strangest thing, though. The strangest thing was what me and Alan saw down this corridor. And to this day, I can't...
The vision of that woman that was walking in that...
And it was clear as day. Absolutely clear as day, and I cannot explain it. I'm still, to be honest, sceptical about the whole thing.
Did you see a woman, actually, a whole woman?
Yeah, it was. But it's one of those things, it happened so quickly, and it's still there in my mind, and it'll probably always be there in my mind.
Do you get nightmares about that?
No, not at all, because it wasn't really that scary.
That
it sounds strange.
Me.
Well, it really wasn't, because it wasn't like she was coming after us. She was walking away, going the other direction.
Really?
And yeah, it's really strange. I know it sounds scary, but I wasn't scared. I just wasn't scared. It was...
Well, can I ask you a question? I know I should... this is the last thing I want to know about tonight.
Okay.
Right. Basically, my husband, he's sceptical.
Right, yeah.
I've always believed in ghosts.
Okay.
Right. I should really ask Alan this, but I'm asking you because I think you believe as well.
Right.
I live in a place which is it's been converted into two flats.
Okay.
If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an old Victorian place which has been converted into two flats.
Okay.
And I've got a serving hatch. Do you know what that means?
A serving hatch, yeah, so it goes through to your dining room from your kitchen.
From the kitchen into my bedroom.
Oh, into the bedroom, okay.
Yeah, because it's been converted.
Right, yeah, I see, yeah.
But the serving hatch, obviously my bedroom was the living room when it was converted into two flats.
Right, yeah.
and my husband, I was listening to Alan. Uh-huh. I was listening to the Night Owls, and I was listening to one of his stupid mad songs that he always does. And I was just sitting at the side of my bed just listening, and then my husband came into the from, because we got like glass doors,
yeah,
which goes from glass doors from the living room to the bedroom where I was sitting in the bedroom to the living room where he was.
Right, yeah.
And then he came into the bedroom and he said, "Have you just walked past that door?" And I said, "No, I've just been sitting by the window just listening to Alan."
Mm.
And he said, "Have you not got up and gone towards your wardrobe? Because my wardrobe is by the glass doors."
Oh, how about that?
And I said, "No, I've done nothing." I said, "I was listening to Alan Robson, and Alan Robson was listening. He was talking about something to do with death and things like that. And he was on a subject about death, and then my husband came in about 20 minutes later and he said, have you just walked past?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, I've just seen a set of footprints walk past that door to go into the wardrobe, and they haven't walked back. Haven't walked back."
And I said,
"Well, I've been in here all along, and I've been sitting by the side of the bedroom just listening. Listening to Alan Robson."
Yeah.
And I said, "I have my radio clock. It's just a normal black radio clock that's on the floor." And I said, I sit on the floor, but I've got the radio clock on the floor by the side of me and the side of his side of the bed. And so he said, "Well, I saw some footprints walking the other side of the room." And I said, "Well, I haven't done it."
Well, there's no explaining that. But you say he's still sceptical.
He's still sceptical.
But he can't explain that, can he? Because it's not you.
No, it's not me.
Something went past.
I was sitting there, Paolo.
Yeah.
I was sitting just on the floor on me. Yeah, I sit cross-legged, just sitting cross-legged on my knees, just listening to the. I've just got a simple clock radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just said that, at the end of the day, you've got two single beds.
Yeah.
From me, and then you've got the clear door, and he said and you've got another clear door that goes onto the hallway into the kitchen. And he said, "Well, there was definitely a shadow
definitely
that went into the wardrobe."
Well, this is it, Donna. This is what I'm finding as I work on this show more and I do more of these things. There's just stuff that happens that you just can't explain. And that's it. And you know, there isn't really any other explanation for that, is there? Because there was no one else in the house. There's no explaining it. So that's the way I look at it. I'm still sceptical about a lot of the things I hear, a lot of the things that I see, a lot of the stories. I can usually explain them away. But every now and then you'll get a little something that happens that there just isn't any other reason. There's no other explanation for it. And that's what happens.
Do you actually believe in the afterlife? Because I do.
Well, I'm not sure I do, to be honest. It's not something I give a massive amount of thought to be honest. But I just know that I saw something at Muncaster Castle that I can't explain. And it's as simple as that, really.
Muncaster Castle with that woman that was going through that one room to another room.
Yeah. It was scary. Well, I say it was scary. I wasn't too scared, but it was weird, is what it was.
I'll tell you what really freaked me out was that one time when he went up to, when Alan went up to,
Chillingham?
No.
No.
It was abroad.
Oh. Well, he's done a few, hasn't he?
No, it was up in Zimbabwe or somewhere.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't know, like India or something. And he heard that, and he heard that the woman that was speaking, and she was singing.
Wow. Well, it was Jamaica, wasn't it?
The Kanju went up with
you. Yeah, it was Jamaica. It was Jamaica. That's right. And he'd gone to Rose Hall. Yeah, no, that was a weird one, wasn't it? Oh, he's seen all sorts over the years. Alan has, as you know.
Because you were there, weren't you?
I wasn't in Rose Hall. They wouldn't let me go in, but I was in Jamaica. I just wasn't in Rose Hall. But you never know. One day I'll get there.
Were you the one that had the thing up you?
I'm afraid I was, yeah. That was me.
Was it really nasty?
It wasn't as bad as it sounded, in all honesty, but it was...
Oh, my God.
It was not great, though. It wouldn't want to happen again.
Oh, well, just stick to a goldfish.
Oh, dear,
nice little goldfish. It'll be nice in a light little bowl.
Yeah. That's what I'll do, though. Hey, Donna, I'll tell you what, we're out of time. I'm so sorry. Do you want to come back on tomorrow night? Chat to Alan? You can be first call if you want to carry on, or we can just leave it till next week.
I'd love to chat to Alan,
yeah. All right, no worries. We'll put you on the list then for tomorrow. Thanks very much for calling, Donna.
Thank you very much, Caroline.
See you now. Good night.
Good night.
There she goes. There's Donna. Now then, just time for your fourth clue, and then we're going to have a Disney mix, which is going to be pretty exciting. So your fourth clue, I'll give you the first three again. The first one, they're long, thin, and slimy, and you find them in your garden. All right. The second clue, Mr. Lawrence's first name. Your third clue, you'd go here to buy stuff. And the fourth clue is coming up right after this break.
The magic is back with Nanny McPhee and the Big Bang.
The person you need is Nanny McPhee.
Emma Thompson returns as the extraordinary nanny who appears when she's needed the most and wanted the least.
I hear you've been naughty.
Experience the magic for yourself this Easter. For your chance to win a fun-filled adventure of your own in Los Angeles, just tell us what this mischievous child did next.
I had a bag of Percy sweets, and I wanted to eat them. And I kept sneaking one and another one till they were all gone.
Go online at metroradio.co.uk with Nanny McPhee and the Big Bang in cinemas March 26.
One in five 16-year-olds have been involved in violence after drinking alcohol.
6,000 children a year aged 15 or under end up in hospital because of alcohol.
Under 14s who drink are three times more likely to go on to take drugs.
Eventually, all children face tough decisions. The sooner we talk to them about alcohol, the less chance drink will make decisions for them. 7 out of 10 kids look to their parents for advice about drinking, so search online for Why Let Drink Decide. Estimates based on official research.
Just go inside and get what you want. Then make sure you go to the same checkout I went to.
And you're sure she'll undercharge me?
She makes the same mistake every time.
Okay, here goes.
Stop the car! Stop the car!
Get in!
Whoa! It's not a mistake. It's the IKEA sale. Everyday low prices, now even lower. The IKEA sale ends this Sunday.
Rich and Cat.
The Big Top 40 Show.
So, Tiny Temper made it 2 weeks at number one.
Could Lady Gaga and Beyonce knock him off the top spot this week?
Plus, on this week's show, you could win a 40-inch Samsung TV and a Blu-ray home cinema system so you can host your own screening of the Twilight Saga New Moon, which is out on DVD and Blu-ray on the 22nd of March.
This afternoon from 4.
Metro Radio. Paolo on Alan Robson's Night Owls.
I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible.
Yes, Paolo here on the Night Owls, and it's time for your fourth clue. The prize, by the way, I forgot to mention before, it's the Ministry of Paintball. Oh, it's just fallen out. There it is. It's a load of vouchers. It's for you to go...